Going live. Let's do this. Dave, bam. You were just whispering in my ear sweet nothings about the Thunder. And we should talk about this, man. Like, growing up, we were Knicks fans. So big now time. The Knicks are, what, up 2-1 against the Cavs in the series. They're looking like they might get out of the first round. And people in New York are going crazy. I was actually there yesterday. And everybody is pumped about the Knicks. But even though our team isn't left in the playoffs, we still feel like the Thunder have a much better future than the Knicks, right? Think everybody in the NBA who knows the game probably feels that way too, right?
Yeah, if you pay attention to the game and you keep a close contact to the game, then yeah, you know exactly where this team is going and the Thunder are going versus a team like the Knicks where they're much older. They have an older coaching staff. You know, they're more trying to win now and barely make the playoffs, just make the playoffs. You know, where I look at this squad and I get excited about them because if it wasn't for the fact, man, that we didn't make the next playoff round, we would be right now probably tied 2-2 with Denver.
Really?
And I'm just being honest with you because if you look at it, I said it before the Thunder played against Minnesota. I said, I think this could be the year that we have the three top seeds get upset because I felt like Golden State could upset Sacramento. I felt like LA could upset Memphis. And I thought the Thunder had a chance to upset Denver. And the fact was, I'm going to hold by that because I do think that we're a scary team. I do think that we're a complete team. And when you're looking at the improvements that we need to make this off summer, like, it's like adding Chet, get better at defense, and you know, like our list isn't ginormous. Like if you had asked us last year or the year before, we had this massive list of things that we needed to do. Now it's just kind of like, you know, we got a couple things to work on.
Yeah, it does make your head kind of spin when you think about how far we've come in a year. Yeah, it was only 40 wins. So we can't sit there and be like automatically, we've accomplished what we set out to do. Because 40 wins is by no means getting us there, but I do look at it and I look at the improvement we've made and the next gap of improvement we need to take for improvement. And it's like, that doesn't seem as big as the step we've already taken. Now it's going to be really hard. It's going to take hours of dedication. It's going to take the summers.
It's that next step that everybody's been recognizing Shea has, right? And it's taking that next step, that next ability to step up in big games and applying that to off season. In a way, you're playing off season like you played games when you're in your rookie and second year. You know, like that's how much you've ramped it up. And that's what I get excited about Shea's because that's what Shea can do.
Yeah. And, you know, can he, or not can he, we know he can, but will he, is he right now leading the guys in a off season plan that's going to, you know, put them in a spot where they're working out as if they were playing in the playoffs. That's what I think. I think they want to be playing next year. You prepare for the job you want, not the job you have. You want to be in the playoffs next year, you prepare for it starting right now. When everybody else who's playing and you want to still be playing is playing, play like you want to play like in May. You know, earn that. And sure, it starts right now. So you mentioned Chet, you know, coming on to the squad. Usman Jang stepping up, I feel like he's got a lot he can offer. Even if he didn't improve over the summer, I feel like he could come out and be a really big asset for us next year, starting out from the tip-off. But he will improve. We know that about him. We know that about Shea. We know that about Dort. We know that about all the guys. So how do we go forward when we know we have a team that's packed full of guys that are going to get up there, work hard, and get better? Well, it's one of those things where it's kind of actually nice we only have one draft pick coming up because if we had three, it would be kind of scary because I don't know how we move forward. But after next year, we only add one player. Maybe we'll add somebody in the buyout market, something like that. But then we actually come back and we have a bunch of picks again. So the guys that didn't improve at a staggering rate during the next two off seasons are going to be in a spot where they may not make the team coming up. And I don't want to mention names because everybody has to get better to stay in front of this. This is not, oh yeah, only two guys need to improve. Like, everybody needs to get better. So that's where it starts.
Yeah. Good morning, Nick. Good morning, Mwani. Good morning, everybody that's stopping in. Really appreciate you guys stopping in as we just breaking down some of what's our thoughts about the summer with the Thunder here. But you're right, man. It comes with the passion of wanting to get better, recognizing that every player throughout the season has let the team down. It's inevitable. You know, like in their minds, they let the team down in this circumstance. Now, everybody else forgets about those circumstances, but there's certain circumstances that stick with those players. Now, if I'm that player, and I know these guys are, they're out there playing that scene over and over and over again in their mind. How I can get better, how that guy won't beat me back door next, how this guy won't be able to do this next. And they're working on their footwork, they're working on their vision. I get excited about that. And when you start talking about guys leaving this team, and it's inevitable, like we have got 12 guys that are going to be playing this next year that are going to take up minutes, because there's just no way that you can say, oh yeah, 12, 13 deep isn't reality. If this team is healthy, we have 13 guys on that rotation. I mean, think about it, you know, and towards the end of the rotation would be with some of our younger guys, which would be Ousmane Dieng, which in my opinion isn't, if he's one of our weakest guys on the bench, well, quote unquote, weakest guys on the bench, this team's in incredible shape. And I think that that's not even going to be the case. I think Ousmane Dieng is going to step up and be in a top eight rotation. So if you think about that, it's just insane, man. Like, where does this team move from there? Like, not every game are we going to find Isaiah Joe the most effective player in the league. Not every game are we going to find Jay Will or Chet or J-Dub the most effective players in the game. But it's the consistency of being able to step up when a player is down or one of your buddies is down and not playing well. And it's the next man up mentality. And Coach D does a phenomenal job at developing that. And that's why he's always subbing guys in. And then sometimes it's like, man, why is he subbing 13 guys in? Why did he do that? Like, he didn't need to. He could have shortened up the rotation. We could have won that game. Well, it's that next man mentality up. And he has to find the rotation that works in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, when you look at, like, as things tightened up and it was a winner-go-home situation, he really did shorten his rotation. And when you look at that core rotation, you really understand who he trusted in a do-or-die situation. So Sarge was one of those guys that he went to very quickly off the bench. No guarantees Sarge will be around next year. In fact, I think the signs seem to be pointing toward him probably not being around, which is unfortunate because I like him, and Coach obviously trusted him. But that'll be an opportunity for someone, like we mentioned, Dieng, to step up. Or next year, like every year for these rookies, they come in, they play a certain role, then the next year the role is different, right? So, and I don't want to do this with every player, but let's talk about Jay Will specifically.
One of my favorite.
And okay. I just want to, like, if you were his coach, okay?
Yeah.
And I know you don't want to, like, play this game because you don't like making these types of assumptions, but let's just say you were in the, you know, in his inner circle, and he was returning home to Arkansas, and you're like, I watched all your games. Let's talk about what you need to do to get better and how you can improve in your off-season program. What would be those skills that you said, like, you circled and you said Jay Will needs to improve next year?
All right, two things, straight up two things. First of all, his pick and roll is already good, but I would spend a little time on that if I was him.
Like offense or defense?
I would say both, because to me, like, it's the same motions. It's the same idea of where the player is at, you know, whether it's on offense or defense. If you're able to understand what your role is, then it's the same position.
Yeah.
You know, and so for me, I'm looking at that with Jay Will. I'm looking at rebounding for him. I mean, he's already a phenomenal rebounder, so it's not something I would spend a lot of time. But I would circle the biggest thing that I need to see Jay Will do is I want to see him shoot 40% all year round from three-point range, because that's going to be the biggest asset that he can bring this team, is because when we have players out there like Chet, Shea, J-Dub that are attacking the hole and are going downhill, we need guys like Jay Will that are going to be able to sit out in any of the, you know, step-out positions in the three-point corner. Wherever it is, we need guys like Jay Will to be able to hit not just consistently, but make it such a threat that they can't leave him open. We saw him do that early in the season, but we need to see him do it all year round where he can average, you know, 40% from three-point range, making it impossible for teams to guard Shea coming down the lane.
Yeah, I mean, those are, you know, fantastic skills. If he He's shown the ability to do that.
And again, his rebounding is good. It needs to become elite.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Let's start there because I think that that, you know, plays into the rest of his game in a lot of ways. But like early on in the season, he was getting pushed around on the boards. And by the end of the season, we saw him out there playing against like some very strong, very big players.
Big bodies.
Jonas Valanciunas was one of those guys. And he was able to figure out a way to make things work. Now, Valanciunas still put up like close to a 20-20 game. But as the game went on, Jay Will began to like really box out his space. He figured out how to create almost like a Charles Barkley style. Body. Right? Go wide.
I call it the body wall.
Right. And then you can go up and get the rebound with two hands.
Because if you do this with your elbows and then you go wide stance, nobody's going around you. I mean, especially as wide as he is, they got to go 4 feet out of the way to get around him.
So I think that's like one of those things for me when I...
But just that, though, and the way that he understands how to get the ball up the court makes him one of the most valuable assets on this team. Taking charges, his defensive-minded attitude, right? And then his ability to, when he rebounds properly, get that ball out of his hands so quickly that the fast break happens immediately. Like, these are things that just make me tell me that he's elite. Now, everybody talks about that sophomore slump. Can he avoid that sophomore slump? I think he can. How much can he avoid that sophomore slump? And is it going to be obvious that he is going to be one of the top six players on this team for the future? And to me, like, it's, he does so much for this team. I don't know how you wouldn't say that Jay Will has the ability to be a top six player on this team for the future.
So one of the guys that seems to get kind of swept up in this conversation, because when they were drafted, they played the same position, but now they play different positions in a lot of ways, but JRE has been kind of looked at as a player that his skill set has been, you know, rendered redundant now that we have Jay Will. But the reality is,
I hate saying that because he's such a great player. But
truth is, it's like there is a mentality of that. But JRE plays perimeter orientated much better than Jay Will. Jay Will will pick and pop. He'll space the floor. But JRE actually finds a way to punish teams on a wing type offensive situation. He also has the ability to go in and crash the offensive rebounds, create extra possessions for us. Now, it's going to be a difficult time for him. He had a very good first half of the season. A lot of people seem to forget that because of his injury. But if you go back and you watch some of the early highlights,
he was
between
phenomenal.
The passing from Giddy and him knocking down threes or making buckets or dunking on people, like, he's running at full speed a lot.
And the way that he showed Jay Will how to pass the ball around the horn, you know, like that should not be underestimated right there. And one of the reasons why JRE, in my opinion, should be on this team for the next 10 years. You know, first of all, you always need players like Nick Collison on your team. You just do. And I look at JRE and I say, JRE is that perfect example of a leader.
And one of the things,
maybe never a starter unless there's a lot of injuries.
Tell me what you heard people say, like, about him, the players that were drafted, right? He was the first person to call everybody on the team as they get drafted.
Oh, yeah.
He's Villanova leader.
That's right. He's a championship with, think about Jay Wright. Jay Wright is one of the great college coaches of our generation, right? Maybe our top five greatest coaches of our generation, all right? Jay Wright had JRE in his system just before he left, you know, just before he retired, okay? JRE was one of the last players to ever play for him. He won a championship, okay? He took that knowledge and he brought it to the team as a rookie. Coming into the league, he was a leader, guys. Last year, I saw it. I noticed it. I watched how he dealt with the players. I watched how he was able to get a hold of Trey Mann or Bazley or whoever, and they all listened to him, right? And he was a rookie. And then I start seeing him this year, and then I start hearing rumors that, like, J-Dub said, yeah, he was the first person to call me, and Chet, and, you know, all these guys start saying he's the first guy that reached out. And then when they got to town, he was the guy that greeted him at the airport. He was the guy that took him around. And it's like, this is the type of player that you need. You need a player that's willing to do whatever it takes for the organization. You need a player that is going to have his number retired in the rafters, not because of the way he plays, right? But because of his attitude and mentality and heart. You know, like, Look at Miami Heat, you know, Haslam, whatever his name has been playing for as long as I've been out not playing, you know, he's been in the league for 20 years now. And it's like, this is what it takes sometimes. You need a guy like that that's going to go out there and teach the young players how to play and pass the ball and understand that inside the rhythm of the game. You know, like, he's not going to go out there and get 25, 30 minutes a game, but he is going to put up there 15 minutes. And when he does, it's going to be hard and it's going to be all to the wall. And then he'll be able to be rewarded with a few extra minutes in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's what this team's all about, man. Like I understand that people are going to say, well, we shouldn't be playing 10 guys in the middle of the season to get these wins. We need to win these games at the end of the season, not playing 10 guys or whatever the case will be, right? It's the development of Jay Will, JRE, that is the proof, guys, that developing these guys young in the season and then letting them go play in the G League and then bringing them back at the end of the year is so valuable. Usman Jang, Jay Will, Poku. I mean, we can go down the list of every single player that's touched the G League and came back and been ready to play. Trey Mann. It doesn't matter, guys. That's what's so powerful about having a leader like JRE is because it settles down these guys that are going to get emotional about having to go play in the G League because they're not getting enough minutes. JRE is like, hey, it happens to the best of us. Here's my number. Call me if you need me. You know, that's the leader you need. You can have all the star players you want on the team, but unless you have a player like Luke Longley, you're not going to win any championships.
There you go, bro. Pulling out the Last Dance reference right there. I love it. The Luke Longley chapter of The Last Dance was skipped. So there's a really good video on YouTube. Check that out. It's about Luke Longley.
It's amazing, man.
His contributions, like, to that championship squad.
I watched that when I want to say I watched it when I was scouting Josh Giddey out. I think is when I saw it. And it made a huge impact in my life. Like, huge impact, just because, like, it's things that I never really thought about. Like, Luke Longley had to go through pretty much torture playing on the court, right? And he looks back and he's like, it's because Michael pushed me. It's because I had to be there for the guys. I had to be the guy that, you know, made it light in the locker room. You know, like, those guys aren't a dime a dozen. They're just not. You can go and get a dime a dozen in the league. The guys can score 30 points a game. You can do that. Just go find anybody that can shoot 30 times in a game, right? But to find a leader like JRE, you know, like Luke Longley, like, I mean, the list goes on. Like, you need leaders like that for championship teams. And especially when they're quiet and they're willing to lead from the bench and do whatever it takes, man. No, I'm sorry. That's more valuable than most 30-point players a night in the league. I mean, I say that within, like, you know, within reason, saying, like, there's some players that are obviously averaging 30 points a game, and those players are way more valuable. But if a player is going out there and splashing 30 points like 5-6 times in a season, that's not more valuable than a player like JRE, who's going to lead your bench. He's going to keep those guys from going to the clubs. He's going to keep those guys focused, and he's going to help them understand that the basketball is their world. You know, like, that's what JRE is going to do.
Yeah, and we love Jay Wright. I think you said some good things about him there, and we love the impact. You look at a player like Jalen Brunson, like, you look at so these guys that maybe are undersized, aren't the most athletic for their position, but they play winning basketball. They do the right thing. I'm so glad to see Jalen Brunson in the East, you know, playing for the Knicks. Good for
tearing it
good
up,
for
bro.
Him, good for the Knicks. But mostly, I hated him when he was in the Mavericks, bro. He would just
get him out of the Mavericks, God, bro.
Dude, he would just crush us in the paint. And you're like, how can we not stop this little guy who's living in the paint? And now everybody on the East gets to feel that way because he's a nightmare. And that's partly just Jalen Brunson. But that's also partly, like, this Villanova element of understanding, like, how to play the game the right way. Brunson just knows when to take the right shot at the right time. And that is an intangible that you can't build your team, like, around when you're going with young players. Usually it's, like, one or the other. So having a guy like JRE that, you know, comes from the same exact coaching staff and lineage will have a long-term impact. But we've talked about Jay Will, talked about JRE. You mentioned Poku. You know, I think that there's an element of, like, we're really getting to kind of know what's happening on the bench and our depth is there. So let's flip it, right? Let's talk about the head of the snake, if you will. We got Shea. We got Giddey, we got J-Dub, we got Dort, we got Coach Degnault. Like, what do you want to talk about as far as, like, from the people up front leading this?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you didn't mention a name, and I think that he's going to be the key to us winning as many games as we will next year, and that's Chet. And I think that when you add Chet to Josh Giddey, to Dort, to Shea, to J-Dub, and to Coach D's, arsenal, I mean, what are we talking about? Like, every NBA expert I see and hear, they all say the same thing. If the Oklahoma City had a big man, a dominant big man, it would be over. And then somebody in the background says, Chet. And they're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. How did I forget about Chet? It's every single time. It's like, oh, yeah, Oklahoma City is going to be really good. Because to me, Chet brings everything together. He changes the way the defense is played. He's going to change the way the offense is played. He's going to change everything. And we don't even know what type of impact he's going to have, because the reality is, even in the first part of the season, we're only going to see him for under 20 minutes a game. He's not going to be playing 30. We don't see players play 30 until, I think Coach D started playing him in 30 minutes in, 10, 15 games into the season.
Later, you know? Some of them, like J-Dub, I feel like it was like January maybe.
Yeah, like he likes to rest these guys and keep their minutes under 30 minutes in the beginning part of the season. So for me, I keep that an eye on Chet and making sure he stays healthy. And that's going to be the key for him all season and for this Thunder team. So how can we keep Chet, Shea, Dort, J-Dub, and Josh all healthy? That's the key. If we can keep them healthy by ramping up that rotation, keeping those guys rested, doing whatever we need to there, I'm telling you guys, it's over. You know, these guys can get out there and play some great minutes. And the limited minutes they're going to get in the beginning, and then as those minutes graduate, get bigger and bigger and bigger, and we're sitting in a spot in April and we have to win these games, I'm telling you guys, I mean, this team is going to be ready to fire and go. We saw what happened at the end of the in January, where we won 10 games in January.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe, yeah, 9 or 10.
11, something like that. And then we came back in February, had a really good February. And then in March, we saw we had ups and downs, but we played 17 games in March, guys. We had 21 games over the last 5.5 weeks of the season.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was insane. So we ran into a wall. That won't happen again this next time. We're not going to get the shitty-ass schedule like that. We will get 17 games in a month, but it'll be probably in the beginning or middle of the month. We will not get them at the end like that. And I think that's going to be key for us to be able to be rested and ready to go, because if we have a different atmosphere where we only have three less games than we did last year, it's going to be interesting. Like, this team needs it. This team needs to be able to get to the end of the season and just push it on the pedal and just keep going.
Yeah, like Shalik is saying, everyone needs to get better at finishing at the rim. And Mwani's mentioning we're going to go through adversity. So like you mentioned, Dave, like, so these guys got to stay healthy, but there's going to be the reality is that's unlikely for the long term. Now, there's one guy that we wanted to mention a little bit more and kind of talk about overall internal improvements and stuff, and that's sure. That's Chip England. Let's talk about his effect on, you know, rookies last year or stars last year. Like, every player on the team is going to get a little bit of Chip. Maybe he's still going to focus with Giddey one-on-one the most. Maybe he moves to Australia. I don't know what he does. But in the end, Chip is going to be the key to us improving our shooting throughout the next year. I mean, am I wrong?
No, you're not. I mean, I'm so glad you sent me that article, and we'll post that article or talk about it in the next episode. But I was reading through that article real fast as before we got on this podcast. And in order to understand Chip, you got to understand one thing is in 1998 is when he came on the scene. Okay. So Coach K, Grant Hill was having trouble with his shot, called Coach K, and was the lockout, right, guys? So he called Coach K to say, I need help with my shot. Coach K said, call a great forward, ex-forward of Duke, and that's Coach England. So he went out and he met Grant Hill, met with Coach England one time. And he felt like Coach England messed his shot up, right? Didn't like it, but was willing to go back and have a second time. And Coach England walks into the gym, walks over to Grant Hill, says, you need to work on your balance. Recognizing that Grant Hill didn't like the last workout, says, work on your balance, walked out, gave him a business card, and walked out of the gym. And that's how their relationship started. And then he took him to Detroit the next year, and he continued to have the two best seasons of his career while Chip England was his personal shooting coach. I understand that there's a lot of people out there that would be like, well, Coach England does this different. But what Coach England does, right, guys, is he gets these guys to get the center of their gravity. Okay, guys? And that's key, especially when you're trying to get your shoulders all squared up. You're trying to do all this other stuff. If you can be centered and you can go up, you can go up straight, follow through, and do the basic things of your shot that Chip is telling these guys to do, you've got an incredible chance to hit that shot, especially because you're taking probably 10,000 shots every single year. You know, like, to me, I'm looking at these guys and I'm saying Coach England is that perfect person to say, don't do that. Balance, right? That's what it is. I mean, it worked with Grant Hill. It's worked with all these other guys, and then Tony Parker, and the list will go on. It's all because of balance and getting back to the what? Basics of shooting. It gets lost, guys. And that's what's so important when I see Coach England out there teaching these guys and having Josh Giddey with the balance. And that's the biggest improvement with Josh's shot. Last year, I felt like he was off balance a lot and unstable when he went up. Maybe it was just him second guessing himself. But Coach England comes in and he steadies the ship. He gets Josh to slow his roll. And bam, it's money.
You saw it. Josh would he really liked to step into a shot. If the ball came to him too quickly, he would fake a pass and then go to the step into a shot to get that rhythm. So he's found it. It's been really, really fun. It's been an incredible experience. And now I feel like we're getting ready to see what Coach England can do for the rest of the team. Overall, it's going to be pretty impressive. I really love what this team is made up of. I love the way that Sam Presti has organized this. Coach Daigneault, you know, trust his assistants, and you got a coach like Chip England who's going to help the players individually get better. It's an organization.
It's beautiful, man.
Yeah, exactly. It's beautiful. Now,
well, it's like a train, man. Once you get going, right? Just get going, and there's no stopping it. Like you're not gonna put. I mean, you could put a cement truck in front of it, and eventually, it's gonna go off the tracks. But you're not gonna stop a train by running the side of it and trying to pull it and try to stop it like that.
Right.
You know, and I think that's what Sam's created with this Oklahoma City Thunder team is that he's created a fucking train, and the rest of the NBA is like, "Whoa, stop it! You're fucking up. You're fucking up the rest of the league. Stop it!" And Sam's just like, "I'm not stopping. I'm going to keep on accumulating draft picks. I'm going to keep on drafting the players that are the best players on the board, that I think are the best players on the board, and I'm going to dominate the NBA because of it." And to me, that's how Sam has done everything. And he looked at this team and he said, what's the weakest part about this team? Shooting. So what does he do? Goes out and gets Coach Chip England. And after he gets Chip England, what does he do? Goes out and gets Isaiah Joe. And what did I say to you when you got Isaiah Joe? Isaiah Joe will be a top five shooter in the league. And I still believe it. I still think he's a top five shooter right now in the league.
Yeah, and you mentioned Isaiah Joe. And we have to kind of tip our hat toward the reason that we got Isaiah Joe. And that's Vince Rosman. And
good old Vince, baby.
Right, we picked him up from the Sixers, and then Joe gets cut. We grab Joe. So Vince Rosman, to me, is the wild card. Because while we know we have one pick, we know we have the ability to improve internally, adding an additional player through the buyout market, through undrafted free agency, those types of things, that's where Vince is going to star. So,
think about this, man. And I want everybody to think about this because I'm glad you brought it up. Is I think there's more opportunity that this team focuses solely on the draft, not the buyout market, not the free agency, but the draft for the next 5 years. I don't think there's going to be anything that's going to happen off the scenes. Like, we will probably be part of a trade here and there, you know, to help us gain a first round pick or a second round pick or maybe a young asset in the process. But the reality is that every change that we want from this team to happen has to come from the draft, because that's what Sam Presti's talking about. You know, like, we picked up Isaiah Joe, and it was the buyout market. Yes, that was important. But the reality is that these guys are not going to be available like that.
I don't know. Maybe.
Do you,
that's what I think he's going to do for us is, like,
But then my question to you is that, like, how many spaces do we have open for that? Like, and that's why I keep on looking back, is like the buyout market works great for Isaiah Joe if, and then, you know, if Isaiah Joe, when he's done, he's going and getting a $45 million contract over the next 4 years to a different team.
Yeah,
you know?
But I mean,
and it works because then people want to come out to our teams. But the reality is that that's a hard line too, because you're not having the opportunity to raise these guys from essentially diapers all the way to young men inside your program. And I think that's the key to understanding what this organization wants to do, because when you start bringing everybody else in, right, and you start trading stuff, people aren't feeling like that loyalty. And that loyalty is going to be key to being able to keep all these guys together when it comes to contracts, you know? And I think, to me, it's more valuable to say we're going through the draft, not the buyout market, not the free agency, not the trade market. We're going through the draft because this will teach the guys that loyalty is key here.
Or,
and I could be wrong, guys. I could be so off my rocker that I'm just fucked right now. But the reality is that I believe in this team. I believe in what Sam Presti's doing. And Sam Presti's not one to stop what he's doing mid-range. I mean, like, mid-stroke. And turn around and stop. You know, like, Sam Presti's going to follow through with his plan.
He's a finisher.
Think about it, guys. Yeah. I mean, I'm never going to stop mid-stroke. I'm going to keep on going. And Sam's the same way. He wants to finish this. He wants to see the vision out. Because if he's right, and this is the type of dynasty that he believes it could be, then what? Everybody else in the background is like, oh, trade this guy. Get this player. It's all just noise. Because Sam was right and he stuck to his guns. So what's more valuable to him? Proving that he's right or proving that everybody else is right by some saying, oh, they just need one more star and they'll be a championship contender. No, do it the Sam Presti way. Don't listen to the noise.
Shout out to Fear the Deer for giving us
Fear the Deer,
the One Giant Leap. That's the name of the Luke Longley special that we were mentioning earlier. It's definitely worth watching.
Oh, dude, I'm serious. Thank you, Fear the Deer, for putting the name out there. Because, guys, I'm telling you, I've never seen the Michael Jordan Last Dance.
You gotta watch it, bro.
I will watch it. I will watch it. But I when I saw that Luke Longley special, it changed it for me. Because to me, when I watched it, I'm sitting there saying, Luke Longley was one of the reasons that they got those championships. And why was he never really mentioned it in the Last Dance? And then it made me upset. Because, like, I was like, oh, I'm so amped about this, you know, Last Dance. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, Luke Longley deserves to be mentioned in that way more than he did. I think it was like 2 times he was mentioned in. That's fucked. He was one of the best at what he did in the league when he played. And that was spreading the floor for Jordan, and it was doing whatever it took to help Michael out. And you can say, oh, that's a bitch move. Well, fuck off, man. He got paid millions for doing it, and he's still a fucking hero for doing it. So who's the bitch?
There you go. And what's up, Sammy Dog? So on top of that.
It's been a while since I've had a mic in front of you guys. My bad.
Fear the Deer says that Giddy will be averaging 20 points next season. I see it.
Damn.
I mean, it's a big step. But, yeah, why not? What's up, Enrique? Thanks for joining us from the Philippines.
Sammy.
Mwani.
What's up, man?
We love you, man. You're all over this shit.
And you're right, Blake. Waters is incredibly underrated. And, you know, we should spend time talking about Waters for sure. But, you know, next year is going to be a big year for him. He's got to step up. He's got the height. He's got the shot. He plays defense. It's all about what type of impact he can make next year on this team to see what type of playing time he'll have.
I think he's proven he's an NBA player.
No doubt.
He's got a long way to go, but, you know, I think other teams are noticing him. So we want to make sure he keeps improving on our squad, because he's the type of guy that, once again, connects people to the Oklahoma, to the area, to the community.
He's a community guy. He grew up in Oklahoma, played for Norman. I'm sorry, Norman. Mm-hmm. For a few years. Like, he's got an incredible story. If you guys haven't ever read his story before, it's incredibly amazing. The fact that he's been able to figure out a way through and get to the league is beyond anything I can imagine. So if you haven't already, guys, just go look up Waters, Lindy Waters, the third story of how high school, college, you know, just look up his career, guys, because he's worth it. He's one of those young men that you want to cheer for and you want to fall in love with, that you want to get behind, because the reality is that they don't come out, they're not made like Lindy Waters anymore in the aspect of tall, lanky shooter, defender, high intensity player when he's out there. Like, he is a great player. And I just think that he's one of those guys that I would like to see on this Thunder team for a long time.
Mwani's got a good point there. Aaron Wiggins is going to be a long-term part of the future. He also kind of highlights the type of player we need to get with the new CBA, which is really mature players that can contribute on their rookie scale contract, because those are going to be far, far more important going forward. So definitely agree with that. Sammy. All right, Sammy, we'll do this. Top six next season. Are you saying in the West? Or are you saying all of the NBA? Either way, I'm here for it. I dig that shit, man, for sure. So,
no, dude, Sammy, I'm telling you right now, you're absolutely right on the right path. Top six. I'm saying I felt like OKC will top four. We'll finish top four. But we'll be safe and say top six. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, and Eaton, we're glad you showed up. We're figuring out timing and everything on all this and trying to figure out how to get more consistent. But we're thinking Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Try to jump on around 9:30 today. Didn't start out till around 10
Eastern, 9:30 Eastern.
So we'll see what happens. Clearly, I'm in the middle of a move, taking things off my wall, tearing shit down. But we're going to try to maintain this time all the way through. And if I can't make it, Dave is going to run it all by himself.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'll run it by myself. I'll probably be joined by my other friend. His name is Dave. That's me. So
Dave and Dave in the morning.
Dave and Dave in the morning. So what's up, Dave? How much? How you doing? Pretty good, dude. It's good to see you. But thanks. So you guys, I can go all day.
This is pure gold. I don't even know why I'm here anymore, guys. Oh my god, dude. Give me home court advantage in the first round and screw it. I love it, man. I love it. 9-5. Would you rather have Carson Wallace or Taylor Hendricks for the 12th pick? I do not
know. Dude, look up Rupert. Look up Arkansas's players. I'm serious. There's a guy that played for New Zealand Breakers last year. Dude is unbelievable. Ryland, something like that. Rupert, truly spectacular. There's so many great guys at 12. And the thing is that if we're taking anything out of Sam Presti's playbook in the past, the people that we're not thinking of right now are going to be the ones he gets. Because I wasn't thinking of J-Dub at 12 last year. You know, I just wasn't. You know, like, I can say that I thought maybe it would be Usman Jang. That's who I was following at 12. I didn't think that J-Dub would be that player that we picked at 12. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, rumors and stuff like that, but you know, they're just rumors until they fall through.
For a Thunder player, like, or Thunder pick, to like hear like, oh, this older player, you know, from this school, like, is shooting up the draft profile. We were hearing that from the combine, but we didn't think that that meant like the Thunder were going to draft an older player with a lottery pick. Like, boom, here we are.
Yeah,
and so you're it kind of like messes us up a little bit. Now we don't really know what, like, the right player based on age, because that's how we found Giddy. He was the only player we wanted from that draft.
Oh yeah, it was like Giddy or bust. And I remember just being like, I swear to God, if we don't get Giddy, I'm gonna lose it.
I know. We weren't paying attention to other people, but I guess everybody else was like hoping we didn't get Giddy from the Thunder fan base. So that was kind of funny to see like how wide there of the margin of error they had there on that one. But now we're looking at it and we're like, okay, 11th pick, we pick the, you know, the player that we thought we'd pick, the youngest player in the draft, the international man of mystery, as we call him. And then the 12th pick, we come back and we just mess it all up for our heads. Like, we don't know what's going on anymore. So this next draft profile is going to be fun. We're itching to get after it. We really are.
All right. And Sammy, that is a Catter's uniform, woolly. It's pretty amazing. I'm pretty lucky I got it. And Ryland, Rupert, Ryan. It's not, is it Ryan? I see R-A-Y-A-N, Rayan Rupert. All right, guys, he is special. Look him up. Obviously, this is so early in the season. Still early in the season. We're going to be waiting to break down players before we get a better understanding of where we're going to be at and stuff like that. But he is definitely a player that's fun to watch. What else, Mark?
Appreciate the good luck wishes from Eaton on the move. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got some new places we're looking at, so we'll keep it surprised. Maybe not. We'll be moving closer to Dave, but we'll see what happens.
You know what? If I get you closer for a little while, I'm all for it, man. It's not like we've had many times we get to live close to each other in our adult lives. So
yeah, dude.
Anytime we do, it'll be fun.
It will be fun. We appreciate you guys joining us as this the summer is starting to kick underway. I can't wait to start seeing some videos pop up of the players working out. Get our hopes up about the future.
Dude, I cannot wait till I see a Josh Giddey and Chet alley-oop, bro. Alley-fucking-oop.
Mark it down. We'll be here for it. We appreciate you guys. Sammy, Moani, 9, 5, Enrique, Blake. What's up, man? Who else,
so
man?
Many guys.
There's so many, many, many.
Blake,
many.
Write me a text, man, when we get done with this. I didn't talk to you.
Nick, thanks for joining us, everybody. We will see you on Wednesday.
Wednesday, 9:30 Eastern.